Chapter 21 in 1 Samuel commences what is a new section in this book. From chapter 21 to chapter 31, the final chapter in 1 Samuel, there is one major theme or one major subject that runs through this portion of Scripture. And that is David's running from King Saul. Saul hunting David and David running from him. We have noted previously in our study of 1 Samuel that Saul sought to kill David. Indeed, this was the all-consuming thing in his life at this time. He viewed David as a great threat to him and to his kingdom. And so he was determined to eliminate this threat and to get rid of David, to slay him. Yet up until this point, Saul had been trying to kill David in what was a secretive and crafty manner. This began as Saul sent David out on a number of highly dangerous missions against the Philistines, hoping that he would fall in battle against them. And so it would not appear that Saul had been responsible for David's death. It was the Philistines. They had just killed him in battle. And so this was a crafty and secretive tactic. When this failed, Saul then sent his own servants under the cover of darkness to wait outside David's home and to slay him in the morning. And again, Saul here was using clandestine and stealthy tactics, sending his servants in the darkness of the night when no one could see. And they were going to assassinate David in the morning. And then Saul sent his armed men to arrest David at Naioth. And we looked at this. But even in this action of seeking to capture David at Naioth, there was a certain degree of secrecy. We know Saul was also acting in a covert or secret way at this time, for he did not tell Jonathan, his own son and prince in Israel, of this attempt to capture David. He didn't reveal this to Jonathan. So again, there was a form of secrecy and craftiness about Saul's actions. Saul then had been operating in a very crafty and sneaky manner as he sought to slay David, as he sought to get rid of him. However, as we noted last time in 1 Samuel 20, David, with great wisdom, exposes Saul's mistreatment of him. And before all the royal court, Saul's murderous intentions towards David are made known for all to see. David exposes Saul's wickedness by not turning up at the royal feast, as it was expected of him. He knew that if his seat was empty, if he didn't turn up, then Saul would ask about his whereabouts. If David's seat was empty, he would say, listen, well, where's David? And of course this happened. David then told Jonathan that when Saul inquired of him where David was, he was to tell his father, David has asked leave to go to a feast in Bethlehem with his family. He's asked leave to go and celebrate with his family. Now Saul hears this, he loses his cool. And in a fit of rage, before all the royal court, he expresses his hatred for David and even attacks his own son Jonathan for defending David. Saul's true intentions towards David were now no longer a secret. The mask had slid. It was now revealed what was in Saul's heart. His true intention towards David was to murder him. It was to kill him. It was to get rid of him. Chapter 20 in 1 Samuel then ends with Jonathan meeting with David, telling him he must run for his life. He must flee, for his father now is determined to kill him. And everyone knows it. So as we come into chapter 21, the chapter we're coming to today, we are told of how David began this period in his life, where he was a fugitive in Israel, continually on the run from King Saul. This is where he began his great times of affliction running from Saul. We could say this was one of the most difficult and troublesome times in David's life. Yes, during these days, David knew God's help in a most remarkable way. And the Lord delivered him out of the hand of Saul on many occasions. The Lord protected him. But it was also a time when David faced many difficulties and many challenges and suffered much hardship. And he even made a number of big mistakes and done things which he ought not to have done. This was a difficult period in David's life. Now we can say This period in David's life very much reminds us and teaches us that life for the believer in this world is not always easy. And it's not without its difficulties. Yes, David was a young man who had served God faithfully. And how faithful David had been in the service of God. He had also been anointed by Samuel to be the next king in Israel. And we know that he had a wonderful future before him. Yet it was still God's will to bring him through these days of difficulty. These days of trial. Where he was a fugitive in Israel and suffered much. Was running for his life. And had many difficulties, many challenges, many worries. It was God's will to bring David through this period in his life. This is often how the Lord still works in the lives of his people. He brings certain difficulties along to accomplish his own will and his own purpose in our lives. And David here would not have been able to understand what was happening. As he had to flee from Saul and faced all of these difficulties. But this was God's will. And very often this is true of the Christian in this world. We face difficulties. They come flooding in upon us. And we can't understand what has happened. But yet, it's God's will. And it's God working sovereignly all things together for our good and for his glory. The troubles then that David faced in this turbulent time in his life teach us that as God's people, we should not be surprised. We should not be shocked when the winds of adversity blow in upon us. Today then, as we come to the opening portion in 1 Samuel 21, I want us to focus on the first 9 verses in this chapter. These verses we have read together. And I want us to consider the subject, David and Ahimelech. David and Ahimelech. Notice in verse 1, as David fled from Saul, he went first of all to meet with this man, Ahimelech. Verse 1 says, then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? David here comes to Ahimelech. And in verses 1 to 9, we read of what actually happened as David met with this man, Ahimelech. There are then a number of things that I want us to note in these verses about this encounter between David and Ahimelech. The first thing I want us to note here is David's distress before Ahimelech. David's distress. And now we should note here from the very outset that Ahimelech was the high priest in Israel. He was the high priest in Israel. In verse 1, he is referred to as Ahimelech the priest. But this is just indicating that he actually was the high priest in those days. At this time, the tabernacle was at a place called Nob. And this is where it was pitched. Therefore, what we're really being told here in verse 1, as David fled from Saul and came to Nob, where the tabernacle was, and where Ahimelech the priest was, what we're being told is that David entered this great period of trouble in his life by seeking the help of God. By seeking the help of God. He, first of all, runs to Nob. And he runs to Nob because the tabernacle was there. And that was the place where God had promised to meet with his people. And also he goes to Nob because Ahimelech, the high priest, was there. And it was his job to pray and make supplication for God's people. Now do you see what is very much in view here? Do you see what David is actually doing? His fleeing to the tabernacle and his fleeing to where Ahimelech was in reality an act of seeking after God. Of drawing near to God for his help in time of need. David here in great distress is moved to flee to the place of prayer. That's the point I want to make here. He goes to Nob because the tabernacle was there. That was the place God had promised to meet with his people. And he goes to Nob because Ahimelech was there and he was the high priest, the man who made supplication for God's people. And so David here flees to the place of prayer. In his distress, in his trouble, and in his difficulty. As it is made known that Saul is destined or determined to kill him, he flees to the place of prayer. What an example David is to us here, and how we as God's people ought to behave when the waters of trouble crash in upon us. The Christian's first response to trouble ought to be to seek after the help of God. To flee to our Ahimelech. And who is our Ahimelech? Jesus Christ. He's our great high priest. He's the one that we draw near to. He's the one who is our great mediator, who intercedes for us. So often, we can be like the disciples when they were in the storm in the Sea of Galilee. During this storm, the Lord Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. And the disciples, first of all, tried to row through the storm and handle it in their own strength. And read about them when they were rowing and they were toiling in the storm, and as the waves beating upon them, that they were working away, trying to get themselves out of the storm, trying to overcome it in their own strength. This was the first thing they did. But then when this field, we're told in Matthew 8:25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Is not this so typical of us? In life's difficulties, seeking Christ's help is not our first course of action, but it's very often our last course of action. We don't earnestly seek the Lord until everything else has failed, until we've tried to sort things out by our own strength and through our own efforts. This ought not to be the case in the life of the believer. We should humbly bring all the difficulties and all the details of our lives to God in prayer and seek for His help. This is what we ought to do each and every day. 1 Peter 5:7 declares, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And the word care there means anxieties. That's a wonderful thing. We can bring all our anxieties, all our troubles, all our distresses. We can simply bring them to the Lord and cast them upon Him because He cares for us. He's a merciful and gracious God. This is what David was doing here as he made his way to the tabernacle where Ahimelech was. Now, as we think of how David, in great distress, fled to the place of prayer, fled to the tabernacle, there are a couple of things I want us to note here in this passage. Notice we see here in David's life the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. Remember, at this time, David has just been told of the great danger his life is in. Jonathan discovers how his father Saul was determined to kill David. And as he discovers this, he goes and warns David, saying to him in verse 38 in 1 Samuel 20, make speed, haste, stay not. In other words, Jonathan was saying to David, you must flee as quickly as you can. You must not delay, or you must haste right away and flee for your life. You must run immediately. Don't wait a moment. And this is what Jonathan was telling David. Flee, get away. Make haste. Yet, despite the fact that Jonathan urged upon David that he must not delay, but go quickly. See what David does here. David still took time to go to Nob. And he still took time to stop in the place of prayer. You see, prayer was a necessity in David's life, especially as he faced this dangerous and distressing situation. It was a necessity. This was vital. It couldn't be forgotten about. David was on the run for his life. Saul was wanting to pursue him. Saul was wanting to kill him. But David still took time to stop in the place of prayer and seek for the help of God. As God's people, this is a truth we need to understand and grasp. If we're going to live lives that are holy and happy, if we're going to be a godly people and faithfully serve the Lord, then we need to be people who take time each day to stop in the place of prayer. We need to take time each day. Set time aside every single day and stop there in the place of prayer. This is a necessity. It's a necessity. Well, yes, there's all the demands of life and all the things that are happening around us. But these things must not push out and hinder us getting to the place of prayer. In James 4, verse 2, God's people are told, you have not because you ask not. Here were people, and they weren't stopping in the place of prayer, we could say. And they were deficient. They were losing out. They didn't have the spiritual blessings that they could have had. Think of the words of the Savior in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What is the Lord Jesus saying here? He's emphasizing to his disciples the necessity of prayer in the lives of God's people. If you want to have, if you want to obtain, then you must take time to seek after me. That's exactly what he was saying to his disciples. And that still stands true today. This might seem a very simple point, but it's a vital point. The necessity of prayer in the life of the Christian. Even though David's life was at stake here, even though he was urged to run and flee and make haste, he still stopped in the place of prayer. Prayer was a necessity. Is prayer a necessity in your life? Is there a time every single day, no matter what is happening around you, no matter how busy you are at work, and how busy you are with your family, and how busy you are with what is happening in our world, stop in the place of prayer. Is prayer a necessity? It needs to be in the life of the Christian. But then, we should also note here in David's life, not only the necessity of prayer, but also the nature of prayer. Think again of the words in verse 1 here in 1 Samuel 21. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? See here how it says Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David. What we learn here is Ahimelech, as he met David in the tabernacle at this time, was shocked and troubled by David's presence. And even by David's behavior, Ahimelech the priest was disturbed here. He was surprised at the manner by which David came to the tabernacle that day. I believe this reveals that there was an earnestness and a fervency in David's demeanor as he was found in the place of prayer. There was something that shocked and surprised Ahimelech. This indeed was the thing that startled and alarmed him. David's sincere and zealous manner as he came to the tabernacle. No doubt David would have came to the tabernacle many other times. Ahimelech would have met him on many occasions. But on this occasion, things were different. David was different. And this alarmed even caused Ahimelech to be afraid. Is there not also an important lesson for us here as God's people? Is there a zeal and fervency about us as we are found in the place of prayer? Is Christ, our great high priest, alarmed as we enter the holy place in heaven and earnestly call upon God? This is the way we need to go about the work of prayer. Not in a half-hearted, ritualistic manner, but zealously and fervently. This is the true nature of prayer. Laying hold upon God earnestly. Not merely having a time each day where we go over a little rhyme ritualistically and think, well, we have prayed. No, that's not pray. That's not prayer. Prayer is coming before God earnestly and fervently, bringing the burdens of our hearts and seeking after his blessing. We see the same thing in the life of Jacob as he wrestled with the Lord in prayer. We could say the Lord was alarmed at the earnestness by which Jacob prayed. For the Lord said to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob's response was, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. And we can see again there a very similar thing. Jacob was taking hold upon God. And the Lord just let me go. And there's a fervency, there's a zeal, there's an earnestness. And he said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. Oh, this is the nature of true prayer. James 5:16 declares, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here's prayer that availeth much. Here's prayer that avails with God. Effectual fervent prayer. Earnestly seeking after the Lord. And I believe this is expressed here. As David came in distress to Ahimelech. You see, not only the necessity of prayer in his life, but also the nature of prayer. And this ought to be our response to distress in our lives. It ought to be our response to the distress and trouble. When these things come into our lives, then we ought to, with great earnestness, bring our petitions before the Lord. And so we have here David's distress before Ahimelech. But then secondly, I want us to note here in this passage, David's desire of Ahimelech. His desire. As David came to Ahimelech in the tabernacle, he desired or requested of him two things. Two things that he desperately needed at this particular time in his life. Well, we should note in this passage that David spoke very directly to Ahimelech. And he made Ahimelech aware of that which he sought after. There was a forthrightness, a boldness, as David came before the high priest here, speaking very directly, presenting his petitions before him. Now David's directness and forthrightness, as he was found in the place of prayer before Ahimelech, does teach us that as Christ's people, we too ought to very clearly and boldly bring our requests and petitions before Christ as we pray. This is how we need to pray, very directly, very boldly. The Bible encourages us to come with boldness to the throne of grace and prayer. Paul told the believers in Philippi in Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is how we are to pray. Not only giving thanks unto God, but also making our requests known unto God. Pleading with God in a forthright and a direct manner. Bringing our petitions right into His presence. Speaking to Him with boldness and directness. We should also notice David requested of Ahimelech. He asked for those things which he needed so that he and his men could faithfully serve the Lord. His request was for those things that would enable him to honor and glorify the Lord in his life. And this is what David asked for at this time. Again, this is how we are to pray. We are to bring our requests and desire before Christ, our great high priest. And as we do so, we need to follow David's example here and seek after those things which will enable us to live for God and glorify Him. That's what we are to seek after in prayer. Yes, we're to bring our requests boldly, but our requests should be requests that enable us to live lives for God's glory. This is what it is to truly pray. Seeking after and asking for those things that will help us as Christians to honor the Lord. James said to God's people in James 4 verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Here were people, and they were asking for and requesting after the wrong things in prayer. They were asking amiss. Asking for the wrong things. How do we avoid this? How do we avoid this mistake? How do we guard against bringing the wrong petitions before the Lord in prayer? This is a serious problem. This is something that we need to consider. How do we avoid this issue of praying in the wrong way, asking for the wrong things? Yes, we're to come with boldness, speaking directly to the Lord in prayer, but how do we avoid asking for the wrong things? Very simply, we request and only request those things which will in the end bring glory and honor to the Lord. And this is how we are to pray. Seeking after those things that bring glory and honor to the Lord. Let me give you an example. If you were to pray that the Lord would make you rich, would that bring glory to the Lord? Is that something that we should be praying for? Lord, make me rich. Make me prosperous. Let me have lots of money in my bank account. Is that a prayer that will glorify the Lord? Of course it isn't. It's all about you and what you want and your own desires and pleasure. But if you prayed, Lord, make me righteous. Make me holy. Make me godly. Now, this is different. Here's a request that will bring glory and honor to God. Because if the Lord increases your righteousness and enables you to live in a holy way, then that will magnify Him in this world. This is honoring to Him. You see, this is how we are to pray. We're to pray for those things. Those things that glorify the Lord. As David was found in the place of prayer, he requested of Ahimelech that which would enable him to serve the Lord and live a life for God's glory. But then this brings us to consider, what exactly was it that David desired of Ahimelech? What was it that he requested of him at this particular time? Well, see here, David asked Ahimelech for two things. We see David requested sustenance of Ahimelech. He requested sustenance. And read of this in verse 3. David says, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." David here asks Ahimelech for bread. And in verses 4 to 6, we are told of the bread that Ahimelech gave to David. He gave him the bread from the table of showbread in the tabernacle. As David then came to Ahimelech, he sought after sustenance. He sought after that which would sustain him as he endeavored to live for God in what was a very difficult time in his life. And this is what he sought after. Give me bread. And he was seeking to live for God and seeking to serve the Lord. And so he needed bread. He needed sustenance to do this. Now, as God's people, as we are found in the place of prayer, and as we make our requests known to Christ, this is what we need to be asking for. This is what we need to seek after every single day. Spiritual sustenance. Spiritual sustenance. The wonderful spiritual sustenance that is available for the Christian is the Holy Spirit. That is the sustenance that is available for the Holy Spirit. Think of it here. David went to the tabernacle. He had entered into that earthly tabernacle as a picture of the heavenly. And he received sustenance that he might be able to live day by day. Well, as Christians, as we go and we enter into the heavenly tabernacle, spiritually speaking, in heaven, the tabernacle not made with hands, where Christ, our great high priest, is, the spiritual sustenance that we receive there is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit filling the life of the believer that strengthens them and enables them to grow spiritually and continue to live for Christ in this world. Therefore, as God's people, that which we especially need to seek after in prayer is the infilling of God's Spirit in our lives. As we go to our Ahimelech, this is what we need to be seeking after day by day. Every single day we need to say, "Lord, give to me of thy Spirit for today, that I might have strength, that I might have power to live for you in my home, in my workplace, and serve you in the church and in the community." This is the sustenance that we need to be seeking for day by day. The Lord Jesus teaches us most clearly how we need to continually pray for the sustaining power of God's Spirit in our lives. In the words of Luke 11 verse 13. And this is what Christ said to his disciples. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" See what he's saying here? Just as you give bread to your children on a daily basis, so if you seek after me on a daily basis, I'll give you the sustaining power that you need. I'll give to you of my Spirit. And so this is how we need to be praying. This is what we need to be praying for. The sustaining power and help that God grants to his people. But then see also here, David not only requested sustenance of Ahimelech, but he requested a sword of Ahimelech. See now verses 8 and 9 again here in 1 Samuel 21. "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me." David here asks Ahimelech for a weapon. He obtains the great sword of Goliath. Now, as David sought for a weapon, he was really seeking after that which would help him to fight against his enemies. That which would help him to fight against those that wanted to destroy him. He was seeking a sword so that he might be able to resist his foes and his enemies. David then not only requested food of Ahimelech, but also that which would enable him to fight against his enemies. He desired a sword. Again, there is very important truth for us to note here. As we are found in the place of prayer, we have need to pray. We have need to pray that God will help us and equip us to fight against the spiritual enemies that come against us. We have many enemies. There is the enemy of sin that we need to resist. And sin comes and attacks us in many ways. There's the enemy of Satan. And we need to withstand him. We need to oppose him. As believers then, we need to pray that God would enable us to take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and help us fight all that is sinful and all that is wicked. And this is how we need to pray. And indeed, if we think of the Savior again, he even teaches us we are to pray in this manner. To think of the Lord's Prayer and how he reveals to us we are to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there is the sense there of being able to withstand evil, withstand temptation, withstand wickedness as we live in a world that is broken and fallen and corrupted and defiled. This is how we need to pray. This is what David requested of Ahimelech. Sustenance for strength and a sword to stand. This is what we as God's people need to continually request of our Ahimelech, Jesus Christ. Indeed, these ought to be the two great petitions in the life of every Christian. What should you pray about? What should we as God's people particularly pray about? That which David requested here. Sustenance to live the Christian life and a sword to fight in the Christian life. That's what we need to be praying for continually. Every single day before we leave our homes, we need to be praying in this manner. Lord, give me of your Spirit that I might sustain in the Christian life. And put the sword of your truth in my hand that I might fight in the Christian life. Child of God, we are to follow David's example here. As we come before Ahimelech, our great high priest, Jesus Christ. These are the petitions we especially need to bring before God. Sustain me. Help me to stand for you in a wicked world. And so we have here David's distress before Ahimelech. And David's desire for Ahimelech. In the final place, I want us to note here in this passage, David's dishonesty with Ahimelech. His dishonesty. After Ahimelech asks David in verse 1 why he came to Nob in the manner in which he did, we then read in verse 2, David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. And what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now what we sadly learn here is this. David behaved in a dishonest way before Ahimelech. He did not tell Ahimelech the truth as to why he had come to the tabernacle that day. He was dishonest. He told him a lie. Now this was a big mistake that David made. He should have been honest with Ahimelech and confessed to him the truth as to why he was there. He was there because Saul was hunting him. He was there because he was in the run for his life. He was there because he was in great need. But he didn't. He made up a story here. Later on in David's life, he came to regret his dishonesty at this time. And we will come to that in the will of God. Although much of what David did here was good, was commendable, and really is something that we need to follow, yet his dishonesty certainly was not good. It was not good, and it is a warning to us. You see, what I want us just to note here in closing is how we must be completely honest and truthful when we are found in the place of prayer. That was the mistake David made here. Yes, it was good that he was in the place of prayer. It was good he felt the necessity to go to the tabernacle and seek help there. But his mistake was this, he wasn't honest. As we come to Christ, our Ahimelech, it is foolishness. It is a grave mistake not to be honest in his presence. Oh, we must be honest in the place of prayer, completely honest before the Lord. We need to be truthful before Christ in prayer about our circumstances. We need to confess before him our sin and the trouble that we are in. Child of God, this is what you need to do in prayer. Confess before Christ, come to him, and just pour your heart out before him honestly about your need as a sinner. Indeed, those who are not saved today in this place, this is what you need to do. Go to Christ and honestly confess your sin. And confess your hopelessness and helplessness and your need of Christ. Plead to him for salvation. But this is too what every believer continually needs to do. Every day we must get before God and be honest. Be honest about our sin. Confess our sin. Does not the scriptures teach us if we confess our sin? That's being honest. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And to cleanse us from all our iniquities. We need to be honest about the need of our help. Maybe you're battling with some temptation or some wickedness and it's a real trial in your life. Go to Christ with it right away. Be honest with him. He knows all about it anyway. And just plead, Lord, give me victory. Give me help. Give me strength. Think of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee came to the temple and he was anything but honest. He presented himself and all that he was. And then the publican came. And he wouldn't even look up. Filled with contrition, he smote upon his breast saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He was honest. The Bible tells us he went to his house justified. Right in God's sight. How important honesty is. Vitally important honesty is. As we are found in the place of prayer. David then, before Ahimelech, teaches us how we as believers need to be people that are frequently found in the place of prayer. We need to go to the place of prayer, especially when the troubles and difficulties of life come in upon us. But this is where we need to be found continually. And yet there is still a warning here. Warning of the need for truthfulness and honesty and openness as we come before Christ, our Ahimelech, in the place of prayer. May we follow David's example here, but also may we heed the warning of David's life here as we give ourselves to prayer as God's people. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts today for his own name's sake. Amen. Amen.